Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Our podcast producer, my 12-year-old Boston Rat Terrier, Murray, has a very discerning palate. Luckily, Nom Nom's Turkey Fare recipe not only has fresh ingredients, but it's also made with his favorite food, brown rice.
It sure is. Nom Nom's food is full of fresh proteins your dog loves and the vitamins and nutrients they need to thrive. You can actually see proteins in vegetables like beef, chicken, pork, peas, carrots, kale, and more. Your dog's health starts in the gut, and a better diet means softer coats, more energy, and better breath.
This is how Nom Nom works. You tell them about your dog, age, breed, weight, allergies, protein preferences. They'll tailor a specific amount of individually packaged Nom Nom meals and send them straight to you. Store the meals in the freezer or fridge until it's mealtime. They'll give you specific instructions on how to transition your dog from foods like kibble to the always fresh Nom Nom for the best results. Watch your dog clean their dishes, dance for more dinner, and overall thrive. And if your dog is anything like Murray, ooh, he is going to dance for dinner and clean his dish sometimes at the same time.
Isn't it time to feel good about the food you're feeding your dog? Order Nom Nom today. Go to trynom.com/oldmillennials. That's trynom.com/oldmillennials and get 50% off your first order plus free shipping. Bye.
As old millennials, we've been prioritizing health and wellness a lot more these past few years. While we may not be Spencer pratting it up, not just yet. I mean, Emily, don't count us out here. With crystals on our bodies, we are thinking how much more we need to stay hydrated.
Recently, I started traveling with at least one liquid IV stick in my bag to make sure I'm staying extra hydrated, especially when it gets hotter or after a night of a little too much fun.
Liquid IV is the category-winning hydration brand fueling your well-being, and their hydration multiplier is the one product you're missing in your daily routine. Use it the first thing in the morning, before a workout, when you feel run down, or after a long night out and on long flights.
My sister recently got married, and as her maid of honor, I put liquid IV sticks in all the bachelorette party bags, and my sister and her husband put them in their goodie bags when we traveled to Costa Rica for the wedding. Those came in super handy after hitting an open bar in the sweltering heat. It was very nice to have. I'm a huge fan of the watermelon ones and the tangerine flavor, which has an immune boost, even better when you're traveling and worried about keeping your immune system going. They fit easily in a toiletry case or even a tiny purse, so it's super easy to pour one in your water bottle.
One stick of liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone and contains 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C, with 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks and probably, I mean, I know for a fact because I recently had a Gatorade, a much better taste.
Oh, absolutely. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code OLDMILLENNIALSPOD, that's OLDMILLENNIALSPOD, at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code OLDMILLENNIALSPOD at liquidiv.com. Bye! Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back to Old Millennials, a deep dive on normally shallow topics from the 90s and 2000s. But this summer, We're going to be talking about recent things that we've been watching on TV and in particular, and just like that. I am one of your hosts, Emily Bajan.
And I'm your other host, Margot Poupard.
You have reached the winter of our discontent. And by that, we mean we've reached the winter episodes of this season. Back to back, we had a snowstorm followed by a Valentine's Day episode and all sorts of chaotic stories aligned, but two major plot points happened. One, Che and Miranda are no more. And two, yeah, unfortunately, you're not going to be hearing any sort of Boys to Men end of the road tributes over here. We've never been fans of this relationship.
There will be no fan cam edit for this terrible relationship that we did not enjoy one second of.
And then, of course, Carrie and Aiden meet again for the first time in, I believe, 15 years is what they said, or 13 years on the show.
Is that how much time has elapsed since Sex and the City 2?
It makes sense. I think I saw it in 2010. So yeah, it would be okay. 13 years. There we go. Yeah, since that very weird Abu Dhabi kiss.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. She, like, loses her passport. What? I hate that movie. I don't even so get me bad. Started.
It's terrible. It's long. You know, I think I said this when we had a Sex and the City episode in the past. I said, you know, it's bad when the one thing people praised about this movie was a conversation between Charlotte and Miranda about being how hard it is being a mother. That was the only thing people seemed to like about this movie.
I'm still a strong advocate for watching it in 20-minute increments.
And speaking of children, Charlotte, Momager no more. Fine, it took us two seasons almost, but here we are. Charlotte is hopefully returning back to work.
These two episodes really prove that Charlotte's children are awful monsters. They are just ungrateful little brats. And the fact that they've managed to elude boarding school in like the middle of Connecticut where they belong is truly a miracle because, God, they're really awful to her. She's so nice. She tries so hard and they're both like horrible assholes.
They are horrible to her and like, you know, we watched in this original show in the first movie, we watched the struggle that Charlotte faced with fertility and later going through the process of adoption. And then, you know, after that, getting pregnant when she thought she couldn't and the anxiety she had around it. These kids have no idea what their mom went through to become the mother of both of them. And here they are.
And let us not forget, Lily ruined Carrie's wedding.
Ruined like, both of Carrie's Charlotte's, wedding.
Like, sure, Brady's a bitch, and I really do not care to see him do anything. But at least he's not going around ruining lives and yelling at Miranda and Steve.
No.
You know what? Brady's well-behaved. Charlotte's children are little terrorists.
I really,
between the, like, Lily losing her virginity, which I don't care about, to Lily literally kicking her own parents out of their multi-million dollar penthouse, which is fucking deranged. Like, there's not a world where anyone I know, their parent would let them get away with that sort of behavior.
Out of
and
a
that
house,
attitude.
Out of a whole entire apartment, not just a room,
the whole apartment. Yeah, exactly. Not just, I'm going to go outside. Like, can you just not come outside? We're doing like a thing. But to kick your parents out of your entire home that you do not pay rent for, that you did not have to, you didn't have
your
to bang that uptight wasp for how long?
Your mother survived a sexless marriage for that apartment, Lily Goldenblatt.
Just these little ungrateful brats, but now more than ever, can we please, especially now that, thank God, Charlotte's getting a job, but like, can we please stop giving a shit about what these kids are doing?
Yeah.
I honestly, and again, I cannot believe I'm saying this, I would rather check in with Che at that vet place that she works at now than to hear from Brady, Lily, and Rock, but especially Lily, who I just, oh my God, I'd ship her off to boarding school so fast. I'd be like the evil stepmom from the very
I never
be like, there you go, you're leaving.
I never condone bullying. As a child who was bullied myself, I never condone bullying. But maybe Lily kind of deserved to get bullied for that.
It's almost like her bullying didn't even work. Like, because Charlotte's given this kid way too much self-esteem, unfounded self-esteem.
Yeah, it is terrible to think that we would much rather watch this subplot of Che and their working at the shelter and becoming this advocate for animal. Maybe not a shelter. I don't know.
I thought it was like a veterinary office.
I think it's a veterinary office. I can't keep it straight, but like.
And nor should you, because we shouldn't. These separate storylines with just Che. It's like, fine, I'll tolerate Che with Carrie, but I will not tolerate. I was like, what show? Is this Che Pasa? Is this a backdoor pilot into Che Pasa? We're like at this veterinary office with just Che and this very kooky lady who happens to know Che because Che used to work here. Like, where am I? What's happening?
I don't know.
It was like a scene out of Che Pasa. I really did not understand that.
It did. Actually, I'm glad you said backdoor pilot because it really did feel like that. Like, that it very much felt like this is a show HBO or Max wants to explore. Okay. So I think we should roll back to the first of these winter episodes, which is the bomb cyclone episode. So basically we can call it, you know, and just like that super special number 22, the gang gets snowed in, because that's really the focal point of the plot and all the subplots are kind of intertwined for various reasons. So let's see, we have Charlotte.
Last season, though, I would give anything for like, just throw it up on Instagram. I don't care. Some sort of visualized timeline, because
yes,
to go from bomb cyclone to, yeah, Valentine's Day again, I was like, what? So are we now in 2020? Wait, where are we in time and space?
Because we had Trick or Treat or whatever the Halloween episode was, that either 4 or 5. And I'm going to go look at the episode list to capture. Okay. So Trick or Treat's 5. So we're, let's say October, November for episode 5, number 6 cyclone. I guess we've skipped the holiday season probably. And we're in January. And then 7, February 14th is February. So Valentine's Day. So I think what I realized is that we jumped from November to probably January. Like December was just not considered. So Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, never heard her.
Forget about it.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
That was way more helpful.
I know. I love that we have to be the calendars because Michael Patrick King and the writers are not helping us.
This was an issue that did not get resolved between season 1 and season 2.
No. And I think, like, in terms of remakes or reboots, I did not care for the Gilmore Girls reboot, but I appreciate that it was 4 episodes devoted that were put into seasons. And so there was a spring, a fall, a summer, a winter. So it was very clear. But yeah, for us, we have to kind of jump around a little bit and figure it out based on clothing and holidays that are mentioned. So let's go to this January bomb cyclone in which the gang gets trapped in a snowstorm and various subplots ensue. We have obviously Miranda and Steve, where we start to see, we have Steve show up for the first time really in a very long time, apart from when we got to see him punch a bag and see him super jacked, where we find out that Steve has been banging his Whole Foods cashier, and we are so proud of him. But ultimately, we see the kind of the final straw of Miranda and Steve. Not that they weren't already over, but really the first kind of verbal argument that they've had about it, where feelings are kind of let out. And this leads us into Miranda and Che ending things. We have
Praise be.
I think we can probably just talk about this first and then go into the next subplot after that.
Sure.
So obviously, you know, Miranda kind of has two endings to her relationships in some ways. While she and Steve had been over already for quite some time, this is really the nail in the coffin. And we get, I think, one review of this episode that I read, or maybe it was you and I talking about it. We get 5 episodes worth of Steve's thoughts and feelings and anger condensed into this like 3-minute moment in this episode. And I just say again, you know, among the many other reasons why we should have justice for Steve, justice for Steve. This was a lot to take on.
I even feel like 3 minutes felt like too long. Like it really, he went through so many emotional turns so quickly in that monologue that I was like, it would have been nice if this was sort of sprinkled throughout. You know,
it was very Marriage Story, Adam Driver, but instead of it being a part of a bigger movie, it was just kind of like, well, we saw him punching a bag a few episodes ago, but here he is again, letting all his feelings out. Here's Steve Brady.
Yeah, it was just sort of, I mean, I wouldn't say I had a hard time buying it, but I just feel like it would have made a greater impact if we had seen a little bit more of Steve's side, or none of it at all, or at least have it be like a more cohesive outburst. Like, I really could have just had him be like, I built this house, you know, like, even though Miranda, you know, pays for it or whatever. Like, I feel like that would have been an emotional enough of like an outburst. But then we go on like 6 or 7 crazy yarns after that. Just sort of like, it really just leads you to be like, Steve, are you okay? Like, what's happening? But I'm really glad that they officially ended things too. Even though, you know, I'm sad for Miranda and Steve. I did happen to look at, somebody made a case similar to Zoe's Caltruther situation. Somebody made a PowerPoint slide about Steve actually being like not a great partner and all of the things that he's done to Miranda. And I was sort of like, okay, yeah, maybe they were not endgame ultimately. But I am glad that they had like more of a cathartic end, because that actually felt nice. Because I think that what everybody was so upset about was that, not that they ended or that they're perfect or whatever, it's just that it sort of felt like we were robbed of like a proper ending.
Steve deserved better.
Yeah. And so I feel like, and Miranda too.
Yeah.
I feel like together, maybe like separately, they act like assholes, but like together they made an asshole couple that you can root for. But I also felt like it just felt like the characters wouldn't leave it that way. It's been sort of like too long. So everything sort of felt like it didn't line up. But I feel like after Steve has his outburst, everything after that is a very nice cathartic end up to the, you know, she finds condoms and he's banging that Whole Foods girl, which like, you said it moment one. Why is there Whole Foods produce rotting in the fridge?
Yes. And follow when Miranda goes back to Manhattan to go see Che, that is when the two of them and their relationship, and rightfully so. I mean, one, we were rooting for this, but two, I mean, it had just been so painful to watch what was clearly a relationship where one partner just was not into the other, apart for, you know, physical intimacy. Like, I think, and that Che realizes that they cannot be in a relationship at this point. And I think that I like how they end things. I like that Miranda doesn't try to protest it, because I think there could have been an edit in which she tried to. And ultimately, yeah, I don't really know where we go with Che Pasa and you know, with this last episode that we'll talk about later. You know, we see glimpses of Che as just Carrie's friend, and then, you know, as an afterthought talking about how Miranda is ignoring them. But I do wonder where we go with that character at this point, now that they are no longer Carrie's podcast co-host, and they are no longer Miranda's partner. We'll see.
I mean, they're trying really hard to shove them wherever they can. But
yeah,
I mean, I think the second that Che called Miranda mommy, like behind Miranda's back, I was like, ooh, this is the episode where it's finally going to happen. Like, they're going to break up.
Inevitably. Yeah, absolutely. I think we've talked about Miranda's plot enough. I mean, obviously, Miranda is living now with Naya. Miranda's very cute pajamas, you know.
I have the show has like money amnesia, as we've discussed before.
Yeah.
Because how does Miranda, because this is also why the timeline to me is like a little like kooky, crazy. So Miranda and Steve ostensibly break up in, I guess, January, but like they've been breaking up and in this uncomfortable situation since at least October, where they're like trying to share this house and Miranda's schlepping all over the place. And Miranda has not got it together yet financially to find her own place. or like, what are we doing here? Because her sleeping on a single, like, basically like a fucking cot under an Hermes blanket while surrounded by her own stuff, like she saw Sonia Tremont Morgan, is so, I wouldn't say unlike Miranda, but is so like, okay, but how sustainable is this plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a point, which is, again, there's been a lot of betrayal to the original Miranda we knew and loved from the show, from the first iteration of the show. Which is, she's the first, I believe. Well, no, I mean, and at this, around the same time, Samantha buys her a condo as well. But Miranda buys her own place on her own. So she very much lives alone and is very resistant to living with Steve for a very long time in the original show. So to your point, it is really interesting. And my thought here is, I wonder with the 20, you know, because we can say it, the 20 years since marrying Steve, having Brady, all that, she has not lived alone. And I wonder, you know, because we saw the codependency issues she had with both Che, Brady, and kind of other people in her life, I wonder if this is another part of that, in which she has, you know, she can physically and financially move out of Naya's place, but emotionally is not ready to kind of start anew on her own as just Miranda, not Miranda, the mother, the partner, the wife.
Sure.
What have you.
Maybe she is going through her second adolescence phase by living with a roommate.
Yes.
It's more so that sad, like, soundproof room.
I know.
That gets me every time with like, the eggshell walls and stuff, like, for sound. I just find it to be very funny.
It is very funny. And I just... much like Miranda's made some dumb choices along the way, but you know, I think Miranda does deserve a little bit better than this. Like, at least give her own studio, for God's sake.
Yeah, give her a studio. Give her a room that's her own.
A real room that fits a double bed.
It looks like she just walked into a store and was like, bed for one, please.
Che, I think we talked about Che, so this is a great segue into WidowCon. So Carrie's story in this episode is around going to speak at WidowCon, which they don't like to call it that, but that's what everyone calls it behind the back, their backs. It is an annual conference around grieving, and we get to meet a very, very, very funny Rachel Dratch, who used to go by Karen, now goes by Carrie, who was a once upon a time writing partner to Carrie and doesn't harbor any bitter feelings whatsoever about Carrie kind of being an asshole and abandoning her. Their project together.
That's the most Carrie thing that could have ever happened.
It really is. It really is. But Carrie is asked to read an excerpt of her book at WidowCon, and Che is there as her moral support. And so we get to go to WidowCon and see how that goes. And I mean, that it's just kind of that, really. I'm trying to think if there's anything really more important to outline other than the widow comedian.
I was so confused. I'm going to take it back to the Che thing, because I was so confused at first when Carrie invited Che. Like, I thought that Che was going to write something for Carrie to read aloud, or like a speech or something. But then all Che does is give Carrie like a semi-okay joke after she's been asked to follow up this woman that's like, quote unquote, killing it at WidowCon. So I was really so confused by, it really felt like, okay, we want to keep Che on the show.
I know,
because
that's, yep,
we know, yep, everybody hates, yep, Che. So we're going to try to make it seem like Che and Carrie are tight. It's like, what? Like, it really made more sense when it seemed more like a work thing than like a friend, like, be my guest thing. Why the fuck wouldn't she bring Miranda or Charlotte or even Anthony? Like, this makes no sense. Or Seema. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me over here? That's why it made no sense to me.
It made absolutely no sense, because there are about six people who would make more sense to bring along the way. Even Bitsy, you know, with her texting of
Bitsy. I mean, Bitsy is a widow.
A widow.
Too. I mean, in the phone tree of like who to call, like, Che is at the absolute bottom.
It feels very Practical Magic, where all of a sudden Nicole Kidman puts Che Diaz on top of all the phone tree.
That's what it feels like. It feels like some witchcraft. It doesn't feel organic.
It doesn't feel organic. And again, I feel awful for Sarah Ramirez, because a fantastic actor is being pigeonholed into this very weird position of being a friend that doesn't feel like an organic friend of Carrie's, because they were very much a friend of Carrie's in a work context up until recently. And now that they are no longer working together, it just doesn't really click because there wasn't enough groundwork laid on the last season for us to believe this friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, you know, I thought the widow comedian killing a WidowCon was very funny. And Rachel Dratt is just like always a treat. I really wish out of all the SNL alums, she more than anyone really like deserves to have her own show. And every time, you know, she's kind of been on a show, it's never worked out. It's been canceled. So, or she has a smaller part like 30 Rock. So let's get more stuff out there with Rachel Dratch.
I also love this alternate reality where Carrie could have been this big rom-com screenwriter. I don't know why that's so funny to me.
It reminded me a little bit of like when you did the 10 Things I Hate About You research. Kristen Smith and Kiwi Stewart, I think, are their names. Mm-hmm. Or Kiwi Smith and Kristen
something.
Something. But, you know, they meet in the mid-90s around the same timeline of when Carrie and Karen would have met. Mm-hmm. And start writing each other on, like, you know, backs of napkins, the scripts for what would become 10 Things I Hate About You. Like, that, it gave me that vibe, except, yeah, what could have been if it had been like that? There is kind of this world where it would have been interesting to see Carrie in that alternate reality. I almost wonder if, with the Carrie Diaries, if there's another prequel. That gets made from the early 90s. I feel like that's kind of it with Carrie in this episode. Much like she's trying to make it to WidowCon, we have our girl, Lisa, trying to go speak at the museum, which, okay, let's talk about this. Again,
talk about what? Like
the fact that they are trying to fit yet another person into this universe where when Lisa is working, is with Charlotte or Naya or a couple of other characters on this show, it makes a lot of sense. But again, poor Lisa, who we find out again is a documentary filmmaker, gets put into a position where it just feels like we're trying to force another update on a character on this show. Whereas I feel like in the following episode, it makes a lot of sense where she fits into all of this. Like,
exactly.
Get that. Yes. But in this episode, it just felt unnecessary, even though I want all the victories for Lisa Todd Wexler. I think she's a fantastic character. But like you and I have said multiple times during the season recap, we feel like Lisa should get her own show at this point because she has a beautiful life. And I actually would be very interested in watching this show. And unfortunately, because we only get 5 minutes of it every episode, sometimes it hits and sometimes it just feels unnecessary.
Right. Like this storyline would have been better served somewhere else. But also it's still just, I feel like next episode, they do a much better job of sprinkling in the side characters.
Yes.
Even though Naya, the only thing she gets to do of note in the next episode is make a chocolate souffle. But I feel like it's just enough, right?
It's because just enough.
It's also happening while Miranda's like bobbing in and out of the apartment and stuff. So I feel like, and I feel like what you said with Lisa Todd, and it's Wexley, right? Not Wexler?
Oh, it's Wexley. Why do I keep saying Wexler?
Because we see her for 3 minutes every episode. She has two last names, and it's really difficult to take it all in when also, like, Charlotte's screaming about Lily's virginity, and Sari's emailing Aiden, and Miranda's getting dumped twice in one night. It's like, I can't remember your last name, girl. I'm really sorry.
I know.
I'm sorry they didn't do a better job organically incorporating you into this quote-unquote friend group. And I mean that in the most housewives sense of the word. But yeah, it's like this storyline, I barely even took notes for it because it's again, the critique I've had this entire time, which is like, this is like its own show. This whole situation could have been its own show. And I don't know why it's not. And I don't know why it doesn't really quite connect to everybody else except for the fact that she's also experiencing the bomb cyclone, but to like that extent, we could also then we could focus the show about like a bodega owner being like snowed into their store or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just the loosest of threads. So yeah, I mean, I love her. I think Nicole Ari Parker is also like serving the best fashion so far.
Yes, and she's funny at certain points in this episode
too. If they would let her if they would let her, if they just would balance her character out, we like, we got to drop someone. This is the problem. It's like, there are too many people. You can't like have Che at the vet. You can't have Lisa and her like talk at the MoMA. You can't have like Seema renting a Hampton's house, because we didn't even fucking talk about that. That was part of Carrie's storyline.
I know.
And it barely makes like a dent, because it's like this weird, like, like one D subplot. Like, it's just like so buried that you're like, what does it matter?
But we didn't talk about the laptop. Like, there's so much.
There's so much. There's so much. And so I'm going to need them to like pare down, you know, like I'm going to need Marie Kondo to come here and be like, does this storyline spark joy? No. Okay. Cut it. So like,
thank that's why, cut it.
I mean, honestly, if we're going to have like a Lisa Che off, like I would rather follow Lisa's life than fucking sad sack Che, the comedian. Like, oh my God, I don't need to see this sad clown, like helping poor helpless dogs. Like, please. While doing a ton of weed, like whatever, that's my own life. Like, get out of here with that.
Oh God. And we didn't even get to the cameo of it all.
Oh my God. That was actually extremely funny though. Like,
I'm laughing so shitty. Much.
If you got a cameo like that, wouldn't you scream? It's just it's crazy. And then the fact that Miranda, she has to wake up to them doing cameos for that, like that, like I don't even, there's no worse way to wake up.
I bet you Margot, during that scene where the strap-on scene earlier on in this season, I bet you after she got Che got off the phone with Carrie, Che did a few cameos while Miranda was trying to figure it out.
Hey, it's Che Diaz. I want to wish Rory happy birthday. It's like, oh my God. It's terrifying. Because it's like they roll into frame in the cameo. It's terrifying. But that was actually extremely funny.
Well, when we haven't even gotten into the Charlotte Lily, you know, Lily.
What
of
is
it
there
all.
To say other than Lily. I agree with Carrie. Like I too couldn't even get my mom to pick me up on time from school, let alone ask her to go weather a literal storm to buy me an asshole condoms. There's no world in which what Lily did makes any sense to me. She's just, and then threatens the pullout method. I'm like, she's so manipulative. I hate this kid. Get her off
the
screen.
I know. This is just, it really is. Which of every episode, the last few episodes, is like, which of the Golden Blatt children is more horrible? And I'm going to go towards Lily at this point, because Rock is just Rock. Like, Rock is being a bit of a punk, and that's just like life at 15.
Sure. But they're also sort of like laughable too. They're like, I don't even like one of my, I was like, oh my God, shut the fuck up. You're such a dork. Okay, then don't fucking model. No one cares.
No one cares except
go get a Capri Sun and go take five, because like you're clearly, they're clearly the one that's like having some sort of like glycemic issue in the way that they're acting around their mom. But I mean,
seriously,
I will, not for nothing, everyone in that episode acted like a Karen to some poor person that does not deserve to be yelled at like that. But Charlotte's been acting like that all season, like back at like,
I know.
The not real real, and now at the modeling agency.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, and this is. Charlotte can have her Karen moments, but I don't think it's fair to give Charlotte that much Karen, because it's getting to a point where it's just like a part of her personality, and not in a funny way. It's just becoming annoying at this point. And I just don't buy Charlotte. I mean, I buy Charlotte going out of her way to get something done, but I also like would feel like Charlotte would have treated Lily having sex more like the way Lisa treated her son having sex in the next episode, with like rearranging the pillows to know. Not that she wouldn't be sex positive, but like, you know what I mean? I just, the insanity. I just, again, like to your
point.
I
agree. I mean, I just, it was more of like the audacity to ask your mom to do this while it's like snowing. You didn't have to bang this like weird, annoying kid today.
I know. Nothing in the end.
Yep. Lily sucks big time. And I feel bad that Charlotte has two little monster children.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's just, again, for someone who struggled so much with infertility and went through so much to have not one, but two children, it makes me very sad for Charlotte to have to deal. And I don't like that she's taking out her frustration on around her kids on other people who don't deserve it.
Yelling at Harry, yelling at receptionists. It's just,
I know.
Like, in check. Well, she also wouldn't feel this way if she wasn't so involved and got a fucking job. So I'm really glad that in the next episode she gets too high and then realizes that she should really go get a job.
That's a great segue into the next episode, February 14th.
Well, because one thing that we didn't cover from the last episode that kind of gets resolved at the beginning of this episode, which is Carrie finally, like, sacks up and emails Aiden and her.
Yes.
It's very Carrie of just like, hey, stranger, if this is your email, it's just like, the way that she emails people in like 20 plus years.
It makes me so angry. Also, very curious what the
angry.
That I'm not angry, but like, just
that,
like,
she hasn't changed the way that she emails.
Just because. Who emails like that anymore? I mean, I guess Carrie Bradshaw, of all people, wouldn't change shit over 20 years. But I do love to, I would love to see what the Aiden Shaw for West Elm line looks like.
That's a great question.
But good for him. You know, we might, who knows? I have a West Elm coffee table. It could be an Aiden Shaw, and I just don't know, but was mass produced since early 2000s.
Lost all of its turquoise passion behind,
it certainly has.
Behind the craftsmanship.
I won't find a chest hair lingering. Ew.
The jacket that he keeps tight.
I am so angry about it, Margo. Why is this man wearing a tight waxed cotton barber jacket all the way buttoned up to... This is a man who loved an open chest like no other, had a 3 open button minimum when it came to a button down shirt. And here we are.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Buttoned all the way up like he has, I don't know what.
Like, it's, he's like a sickly Victorian child.
It's giving girl with green ribbon a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Don't untie my neck. No, I mean, I think my theory from Jump is that it's a straight jacket because Aiden's clearly lost his mind.
He is absolutely lost his mind. So I think it's great that we start with this plot. So Aiden is back, and they had a date in which they both mutually thought one another stood each other up because Carrie went to the wrong restaurant.
Okay, wait, before we go too much further though, who is your favorite Carrie boyfriend? Is it Aiden?
Oh, always. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I also love Aiden, but I do not like second time Aiden.
No, I don't either. Okay, I really, yes.
And I don't know if second time Aiden is has been fully exercised out of Aiden's body. Let's just put it
that way. Yeah. And I think that to your point, there are some hints that indicate that that very well may be the case.
I'm really, really scared.
I know.
And I just have to voice my fears. I'm really scared that they're going to make Aiden, like, they're gonna make us hate Aiden as like punishment for being so mean to Che. I genuinely am terrified. Like, I feel like they are hell bent on being like, this fucking person that you like is not as fucking good as you think it is, and I don't give a shit if you did a rewatch a year ago. I'm gonna show you how bad they are and make you hate them, all because you were mean to Che. And it's like, Like, so I'm so, so scared. Like, I was so hopeful about Aiden coming back. But by the end of this episode, I'm like, I read Samantha Irby's latest book, and she has a whole chapter about how she would have written Sex and City. And I'm terrified about what she's about to do to Aiden. Like, I really am.
I feel the same way. I think there's just, it feels like in this world, nothing is sacred.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, what happens with Aiden. And so, you know, we have this lovely date where after an hour of confusion, luckily the two meet at the right place.
And a poor waiter's cell phone charger.
Which, Carrie Bradshaw, why are you coming to a restaurant with a 10% battery? Like, on what planet?
Again peak Carrie.
Yes.
Very Carrie.
Yeah. And
why are you surprised that she showed up for a date with a battery that's about, like, on its last legs? Why are you surprised by God. That?
So Carrie and her 10% battery go to the wrong restaurant, put some poor waiter in a position where she has to use their charger. And Carrie's just hanging out at the area where, you know, at the computer station where they're punching everything in for orders, and is just generally, as usual, an inconvenience to everyone around her.
It's so funny. Like, I love this running theme that, like, the world at large really does not like Carrie as much as she thinks that everybody likes her.
It is kind of like this show has the rose-colored glasses pulled off, or rose-colored, you know, Jimmy Choo's or Manolo Blahnik's pulled off. And we're finally seeing, like, the expectations, perception versus reality of it all. And the reality is that, yeah, everyone is just annoyed by her versus charmed.
Just, yeah, her person. I think Carrie doesn't. She knows how rich she is, but I don't think that she's aware of how she comes across now as, like, a rich white lady. And that's why everybody's so, like, put off by her. But even, I mean, poor Seema. She had, like, one scene and she was an asshole to the receptionist who has no control over the spa's specials. Like,
I know.
This is the thing that I need people who freak out on customer service representatives in public need to understand. These employees have no control over what you're screaming at, and all you're doing is ruining their day and everybody in the close proximity to you's afternoon. Or, I mean, they're recording it and they're going to make fun of you on the internet, whichever one comes first. But I was very sad for Seema to watch her, like, freak out over. I wouldn't even think that she would give a shit about Valentine's Day like this anyway.
No, and, like, I think Seema is given an opportunity here, which, as a single person, I understand how she feels, but yeah, I just, you can't have me believe that Seema would overreact like this at a spa. Like, there's just no way whatsoever.
Emily, if we went to a spa and they're like, oh, it's only couples massages, I'm like, well, it looks like we're a couple. Like, who cares?
Seriously, who cares at this point? I do think that that was very funny. Like,
we pretended to be a couple to get into a hotel pool. Like, we have no limits.
We have absolutely no limits here. So no shame in our game. And unfortunately, Seema is too afraid to be considered one of a couple. So she goes off on this poor spa receptionist about single people's rights.
Right. It would have been funnier if she did literally say single people's rights, because then at least it would feel a little bit like a Portlandia sketch.
Exactly. But again, poor Seema gets shafted in this. Like, you know, it's like, oh, we saw a bit too much of Seema in the previous episode, so now we gotta balance it out.
Yeah, she's just gonna show up to yell at someone and then move it right along. But back to the date where everybody hates Carrie and everyone in the restaurant thinks it's really funny that she's being stood up. But to be fair to Carrie, like, that host did a terrible job. When she said, like, for Aiden, he should have just been like, who? And then maybe she would have had a second thought to look at her almost dead phone to, like, double check the address. Why she probably got lost. Her phone's fucking dying. She can't look at anything.
Well, and I was like, I don't have time to rewatch this episode, but I was almost, like, going to look at the maitre d' and see if they had, like, a hearing aid or something, if that's, like, supposed to be, like, a clue. But yeah, no, I mean, just there's just so much about this that was weird. Like, it was interesting because it, you know, it starts things off the weird way. And then finally, an hour later, she figures it out. She goes to the next restaurant. And there is Aiden and with a very highly buttoned up jacket.
I wrote my notes, jump scare.
I mean, I know he spent
The jacket was a jump scare.
The jacket was a jump scare. It was kind of like, are they trying to indicate that he spent time in like Virginia? And so now he wears like hunting gear or like, you know, nice.
Oh my God, or even worse, he's a Civil War reenactor.
You know, he just jumps on screen and you hear like the Ashokan farewell from the Civil War documentary, like the fiddle start playing.
Yeah, I hope Carrie has the energy to sit through multiple Ken Burns documentaries because that's what's on TV tonight, baby.
She'll go from being an actual widow to a reenactor widow. Like,
sure, yeah, why not? But I have to say, like, one thing that's never been their problem is they do have really good chemistry. Like,
they have fantastic chemistry.
I was
chemistry.
Immediately charmed, which was so annoying.
Absolutely.
I was like, love this. I love them. I need them to, like, when it looked like they weren't going to make out, I was like, I'm going to be fucking pissed.
I know.
They don't at least.
If this ends at the stoop with no make out, I'm like,
I'm writing a letter. I'm Venmoing, requesting Sarah Jessica Parker, like for emotional distress. Like, something would happen. I'd be very, very upset.
We have to talk about the fact that Aiden apparently four walls is triggering enough.
I really, verbatim, I wrote my notes with Zoe, texted our group chat of like, why is Aiden being such a bitch? Did this show us on the wall where the apartment hurt you. Like, I know that he acted like an asshole. And we even started off this whole segment by talking about like, we didn't like the season where we didn't like the version of Aiden when he was in that apartment. But I mean, when Carrie makes a good point, when Carrie's trying to get laid and she is making her impassioned speech, like, she'll win. I mean, she wins me over. Like,
I know. I painted.
Like, we're different. It's different this time. I totally agree. And I thought it was also really funny when she's like, I put up wallpaper. And I was like, and don't forget your absolutely bonkers shelves that are, like, precariously close to your head.
To be fair, she's always had those shelves. They just were never bright yellow. That's the difference.
Now it's called attention to. Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, to your point, I mean, it's interesting that this man associates an apartment. Like, if he's willing to go that far and say he can't set foot in an apartment, why is he in New York City or on this street? Like, how is he not realizing that they're walking to her apartment at this point?
Exactly.
Like, or going to her apartment. Like, it made no sense to me that this would not have come up in the taxi ride on the way to the apartment. Like, there's just, it was very weird. And, you know, I think that they're trying to Jekyll and Hyde, Aiden here with a Aiden part 1.0 and Aiden 2.0. But I think it was a lot to put on us so early on and under weird circumstances. Like, I think they could have had Aiden be resistant for a moment about something, but it not be an entire apartment.
Well, then he says that absolutely deranged line of like, it's New York City. They've got to have a hotel somewhere. I'm like, what?
Like, where is he staying? Like,
what is happening right now? Like, first of all, you can just call it New York. You do not need to add the city part. That's implied. But secondly, so yeah, you guys are just gonna go like on a fuckfest tour around hotels? Like, that's mental. And also, don't you live in Virginia? So like, okay, then you would be staying in a hotel anyway. And when she said that, there's so, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, if you think about it too hard, you're just gonna lose your mind. So I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
It was nice to see them kiss. Obviously, this is doomed. This is not long for this world. I'm so upset that it's doomed already.
I know.
You know, I feel like we can't even have one moment, but the show is so hell-bent on telling us how wrong we are about the original show, and it doesn't want us to be happy, that they want to fuck up every single person. You might as well just bring back Burger and have her cheat on Aiden with Burger if you really want us to get us to freak out.
I thought the same thing at the end of the episode, Margo. I was like,
shut up, really?
No, well, no, I was just like, is Ron Livingston about to show up here?
If we're just going to do like Carrie's parade through ex-boyfriend land, like, Yeah, like line them up. Let's get it over. Let's get Timothy Oliphant in here.
Poor John Slattery. You know, yes, has since become a pirate.
I would not be mad at that either.
I know.
This is the beginning and the end of her and Aiden, which I'm already sad about because I really did think that she made. I mean, I always thought she was made the wrong choice with Big.
I did too,
but I don't know if the choice is actually Aiden. So. But I think that that's an important lesson, right? Like, it's that past lives lesson of, like, we coulda, woulda, shoulda, like, whatever alternate ending. But ultimately, like, that's not the way it shook out. And maybe it wasn't meant to go the way that we wanted it to.
And the person that we fell in love with is ultimately the reason why this person shouldn't, you know, isn't ever going to be with us is because they...
Right.
Yeah,
you can't be with them the way that they are, and you shouldn't want, and they're not going to change, nor should you want to change them. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
It really will. So let's see. We've got Carrie's date. Now let's go to Miranda,
Miranda had the best storyline of the
episode. I thought it was a very funny storyline.
I had a great time.
I did too. So Miranda's trying to figure out what dating site fits her. She's got, you know, a whole bunch of, when we look at that screen, I tell you, Margot, those ads for each of those websites, rather than looking like search results, just looked like some really like low life dating sites.
I was like, what fucking search engine did she use?
She binged it.
It really didn't feel, I've never seen it look like this. Like it just was odd.
Very strange. But no fear for Miranda. Instead of having to join the apps, she just happens to find a date at the bookstore and comes across her favorite book reader or audiobook reader who read all the Jane Austen novels, played by Miriam Shore.
Of course, Miranda's a big Jane Austen head.
Yeah. Not surprised. Also, like, what kind of psycho is running to Jane Austen?
Yes, you, me, and the audiobook narrator are on the same page. I was like, that's false. At least say you run to NPR, like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. To Pride and Prejudice, like, what are you talking about?
Nothing gets my heart rate up like Mr. Darcy.
I mean, if we're talking about the 2005 movie with What's-Her-Face.
Oh, Keira Knightley.
Thank you. I was like, I wanted to call her Keira Michelle, which is like a Peloton instructor. That's like how warped my brain is. But yes, unless we're talking about that, like, sure. But like hearing it narrated while I'm trying to run, aka fight for my life, like, no, it's not helpful.
No one's running to Jane Austen. That's a lie. That's
it's ridiculous. But nonetheless, she flatters the audiobook reader, God, enough to go on this date.
Just call her she's a narrator.
A narrator. She flatters this narrator enough to get asked out on a date. And so begins what's supposed to be a very hot date that Miranda has, like, very overly dressed. Like, I know
she looks great.
She looks fabulous.
Oh my God. Especially after we talked about that horrible turtleneck that they put her in.
I was so happy.
Relieved.
We got to see her neck. We got to see, you know, maybe a collarbone. Like,
she looked great. She looked really hot. But also, you know, what's really funny? I mean, this is like, I feel like there's another, you know, it used to be like, oh, the fifth member of Sex and the City is New York itself, but also I'd say the sixth man here is money, because in Miranda's mind, I think in all of their minds, really, they've gotten to an age and to a certain point in their lives where, like, they just assume that everybody has money like them, or like has their
shit.
Because the way that Miranda dressed, she was going to, like, she must have assumed, like, oh, like, fancy book narrator, like, must have like a penthouse overlooking.
I don't know.
I'm obviously not from New York. But, you know, she had all these, clearly, just by the way that she's dressed, you can infer that she had all these ideas. So for her to go into this shitty, shitty studio, I mean, the fact that she thought that she could just become a lesbian, and then that just meant that, like, oh, because she's a woman, everything's going to be great. No, this woman is just like every other terrible man, doesn't have sheets on her bed, has cat litter everywhere. You didn't clean the cat.
I know. I just love that this Miranda It just every single time attracts like an undeveloped
losers from all. That's why she should have never broken up with Blair Underwood. A doctor, an NBA,
a Knicks doctor. Good God. I mean, I had, you know, for a split second, I had forgotten about Blair Underwood because it just seems so.
Biggest that one, fumble in the history of fiction.
It angers me so much to this day. To this day.
Like, gave herself that L. He was into it. She did. Whatever. And for Steve, whatever. Anyway, that doesn't matter. None of it matters because Miranda just ended up where she began, in a crappy studio with somebody who.
But at least she has her own studio.
She also has a job, so I'll give her that, but has a cat that clearly hates Miranda already. All of it was great. But what really almost took me out, like physically, like I almost fell to the ground. Miranda was like, 35 straight Miranda would stay. I was like, 35 straight Miranda would stay? I don't think I know anybody over the age of 25 who would have stayed.
Are you joking? Don't think I, 35 straight Emily, would stay.
I 1000% know you wouldn't. You'd just be like, as soon as she, especially when she's like, oh, do you have quarters? Because these are flannel sheets and they take longer to dry. And Miranda's like, I'm just going to hang back and like look at these takeout menus for this like sexy dinner that you're not making me. As soon as the door closed, I would have counted to like 100 Mississippi and left. Like the fact that Miranda just sits down and is like, I guess I'll make myself comfortable amongst the cat litter.
And like continue to hold my bladder along the way. Like,
right. Yeah. And then you're just going to get, all you're going to get out of this date is a UTI and like bad takeout.
Yeah. That was.
And perfect Carrie moment when she calls Miranda and she's like, oh, yeah, I forgot you're on your date. I was like, she's like literally that part in Clues where she's like, would you call me selfish? Not to your face. Like, that's Carrie.
It is so Carrie. No, it was very nice to see a classic Carrie Miranda phone conversation in which Carrie has totally neglected what is going on the other side, that there is a human being who also has plans. That was very fun. I was laughing very hard. I hope Miranda decides she deserves better than another dirtbag who can't bother to like get themselves, you know, just like a little more of a suitable living condition. But then again, she's not giving herself one. So maybe dirtbag. Right. Recognizes dirtbag.
Well, she's attracting the energy that she's currently like creating in her own little abode. But I have to say, I really loved, like, I'm so happy we got just like a brunch, like decompression session with the gals.
Yes.
I want to live. Like, that's all I want from this stupid fucking show. Is for them to like get together. Anthony can come too. Sure, throw Seema in there. You have the both of them at the same time. I don't give a shit. Like, let's keep it tight. Let's keep it light. And let's all like talk about what's going on. This show is the reason why I do this with my friends. Like the fact that like they've lost the aspect. Well, thanks to Samantha Irby, this episode, I feel like really reconnected with some of the aspects of Sex and City that I really missed. But had that conversation, especially between Charlotte and Miranda, where Miranda's like, oh, we don't even know if Dustin's hot mom is gay. And Charlotte just screams, you don't know if you're gay.
Charlotte, this is why I love Charlotte.
MVP of the season. MVP.
She gets the best lines and people don't give her credit for it. But she's really
holding
does.
This fucking show together, I have to say.
She is. God bless her for it.
Thank you, Kristen Davis, for your service.
Speaking of bookstores, Kristen Davis in another bookstore finds a hot Italian.
Well, you need to back it up because I have to say the only person that's aware that this show besides Kristen Davis is a spinoff of Sex and the City is Anthony. I just feel Mario Cantone is the only person that like literally like clocks into this character.
We would watch the reality show where he is pissing on everyone for doping up of all its employees.
Thank you for bringing that up because I'm not here to talk about the Drew Barrymore show. I'm not even talking about people's honking hogs. I'm here to talk about the fact that, and I don't even have a problem with you juicing, whatever, that's fine. Or, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But it was more so the fact that he's juicing, like, in the bakery, like, within inches of bread. And then, no,
Emily, violation.
Emily, he throws the syringe. I'm like, what if a health code inspector came by?
Health inspector.
Your shit's getting shut the fuck down. I just thought, like, that was what was gross. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about anything that's happening other than, like, the health and safety of the Hot Fellas brand here. Because someone sees that you get one bad review and then people can verify it. Come on.
Anthony is one syringe away from a bar rescue episode. I'm just saying.
I personally, though, would love if John Taffer showed up.
The
show is such a random hodgepodge of whatever. Like, if John Taffer is like,
it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I'm going to save this business. He's not technically a bar, but
no.
Yeah, so I love Anthony going on Drew Barrymore show. I love Drew Barrymore, like, just staying in character. Like, I don't even know. Like, she's playing herself, being herself as a daytime. Like, the Inception levels are on 1,000. I really appreciate that. But I also love, like, how kooky funny she is. And, you know, a little Ross Matthews cameo, too, is a delight. I just love this Anthony plotline. This is the correct amount of side character to be using. And over the course of one episode.
It felt neither gratuitous nor lacking. And that's been my problem with about 85% of the I don't want to call them B characters because that's an insult to them. But maybe
Friends of.
Yeah. We let's just use call them Friends Up.
Yeah.
Housewife terminology. So the Friends of that, it was just the right amount of plot line for a Friend of. So speaking of, let's go back to Charlotte because, you know, she helped source this Italian man who
is writing dollar poems in a card store. What is this, 2013? What's happening? Remember, there was like a person in the city, like I forget at which park, that would like type one word on a typewriter for you. And it was like a dollar or a quarter or something. It reminded me of that.
It's very much like a Feist song come to life a 1,000%. Little bit.
You know, or that terrible movie we watched with Elijah Wood where he drags that trunk around.
Oh, God. I don't want to
say it. Not say anything, but no, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, I know. No, it's very much like that. And then we find out he is well endowed. And yeah, that's.
Has a honking hog, as I said earlier.
Honking hog.
Use the correct terminology.
I will. How dare I not? But back to Charlotte, because this is where we finally. It took us a very long time to get here. Too many twists and turns, I would argue. But here we are. Charlotte ends this episode finally saying she's going back to work, and all it took was a space cake and some asshole moments from her kids after being assholes this whole time. Like, so Charlotte and Harry, which again, on what planet have Charlotte and Harry not made a reservation at this point to a restaurant? I don't know. I just wanted to get that out there. Let's clear the air.
Yeah. Another one of these, like, oh, I have amnesia and I forget.
So we have, Charlotte is apparently now a momager to both her kid and dog, Richard Burton, and is running two Instagram accounts. And
I also feel like it's a strong word and it is self-appointed. So we have to point that out as well.
Yes. Yes. It is self-appointed. But Rock and Charlotte make the rounds for the modeling agencies. And this is where we find out after Charlotte has a Karen meltdown at one of the hipper agencies, Rock just announces that they are done with modeling, and Charlotte is in a state of crisis because between her one kid saying no to modeling and then her other kid slamming doors in her face and telling her to vacate the apartment that once again she had a sexless marriage for. And saying Lily, no to a cake.
Lily, what have you sacrificed to be in this apartment? Oh, right. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. And then poo-pooing on Charlotte's nice cake that she brought her and her friends.
Such a dick.
Which she's going to eat anyway. If they're getting high, you know she's going to fucking gonna eat that cake. Yeah.
All these, again, Charlotte's kids are awful. And I never need to hear from them again. The less, the better. Ugh. It brings me no joy to call children awful, but they really are.
They really are. And in the midst of Charlotte accidentally eating a space cake, she gets super high, which I'm Actually, no, I'm not surprised that Charlotte has never been that high before. Obviously, that makes a lot of sense for Charlotte's character. But in the middle of the restaurant, she thinks just she is having a stroke or a heart attack. And they find
not an uncommon feeling for people who have had like been dosed, like,
yes,
whether they knew it or not, if they took too much, like had I've told you that story of my old roommate who thought that she was having a heart attack. And so she came downstairs and yelled it to like a room full of our roommates who didn't know that she had eaten a bunch of pot brownies. And so someone called 911. Because as Rosie would tell you, when someone says I'm having a heart attack, I call 911. I don't ask questions. So, and then we got shamed by the, and rightfully so, by the paramedics who were just like, yeah, we got a cure. It's called Doritos and Cartoon Network. That's the like cliff notes of it all. But yes, it's not uncommon if you've had too much for people to feel like you're having like a heart attack.
Yeah. Also, like, little send off to Cartoon Network. I think they're ceasing operations like literally today or tomorrow. Yeah. Warner Brothers announced Cartoon Network I'm sorry to have brought that up.
I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about this bad show, not like, I know. Let's, bad yes. life.
All right. Let's get back to the show where we find out that Charlotte will hopefully be going back to her life working in art, which we love
God
for
bless.
Her. I know.
Thank
I
God.
Know. It's about time. Because if it wasn't going to be what we talked about earlier with her and Lisa just like ruling the school as like these moms with catty comments, like I'm not here for it. It's just annoying. So
well,
I'm
Lisa
really
work too much.
And yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do that. So
yeah.
But so I mean, speaking of Lisa, let's just do this real quick because, like, this was also the correct amount of Lisa Todd Wexley.
Yeah, I guess
her
I
son.
Agree.
I think that she doesn't like her son's girlfriend, not only because she hangs all over him, but mostly because her name is Baxter.
What an unfortunate look in the world of New York is not New England, but in like the world of East Coast prep schools,
East Coast elites.
I've known many a woman with an interesting surname for a first name, C. Tinsley Mortimer,
Blake.
It's very common. Baxter just really.
Baxter is a pet's name. That's a cat's name. That's a dog's name. That's your hamster's name. That is not a child's name.
That is not a child's name. And at this
point, a cartoon character.
They would have picked their middle name or another name at this point. There's no world in which a 15 or 16 year old girl is going to still be going by Baxter.
Right. And not like Baxi or some shit or
exactly.
B or something else.
Just her.
But yeah, just her for me, thanks. But yeah, I think that personally, I think Lisa hates her because her name is Baxter and it's annoying.
And I support her for hating her for that reason. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was really happy to watch the Todd Wexleys shut down their kid going to the Mondrian
For
Valentine's
thank
Day.
God.
But then they doubled back and they're like, well, we're going to be gone all night so you guys can just be here. It's like, what? Wait, that like defeats the purpose, but I suppose they're the kind of parents that are like, oh, like, I don't want you drinking like at parties, but if you want to have a drink at the house, it's fine because you don't have to drive anywhere. It's that sort of like vibe.
Why? Do you want a little? Because if you want it, much rather you have it in the house.
Right? It really kind of feels a little bit like that. But when they shut him down, Herbert Jr., which I cannot believe that kid's name is Herbert Jr., terrible. Because even HJ, horrible.
I know.
There's just
that's
that poor kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like you said, go by the middle name, maybe. Like that would help.
Yeah.
But when they shut him down initially, I was like, yeah, that's right. Like that's the parenting that I like. And then,
I know,
like,
I was about to say.
Then she can come here. I was like, ooh, famous last words. But like the pillow thing aside, I just thought the funniest thing was she was like, I'd rather you fuck in my bed than hang out in my closet. I thought that was great. That was very funny. And again, the correct amount of them, like we didn't have to get too deep into like Herbert Senior's a fucking comptroller or like I'm being honored by the Met. It's like, what? Like, I feel like I'm missing a lot of backstory to like be fully invested. But like you yelling at your son to like not be in your closet and not fuck on your bed is very funny. And the correct reaction to teens is just like, stop. Yeah. No.
Have we covered all of the sub? Because we've got Naya and her chocolate souffle, which, again, like, fit in nicely. It was very little bits and pieces, but it was a nice framework to the like showing love for herself and taking the time and all that.
And she did it. She made one.
She did it. She made and it looked delicious. We had did anything happen with Seema? Other than the single person.
That's the only note I have. Yeah.
That's all I have too. And then we have Che, who we might be getting a back plot for backdoor plot.
No. Do not put that out there. I think we really did cover it all.
Yeah. All in all, I think Bomb Cyclone really annoyed me, but I appreciated I liked February 14th. It wasn't my favorite episode this season, but I think it returned to some of the fun plot lines. Like I think Miranda got, you know, girlfriend of the week for this this week, nice. Which I appreciated.
It was nice to see Miranda not be a total fucking drag and to like have Miranda be fun and to finally get the plot line for Miranda that I've wanted kind of this whole time, which is Miranda figuring out what she wants now.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
We've had the good closure with Steve. Now we're like we've set Miranda straight. And I'm like, yay. Like she's coming out of this like, I don't know anything.
Blah. Yeah.
She's like finally starting to like get her shit together and sack up and and have fun and not be such a downer and be like, everything's my fault. I'm the worst. Che, che, che. Like finally she has a personality again.
Agreed. And I really hope that by the end of this season, she gets her own place. It's really all I want for her at this point, you know?
Yeah, let's hope so.
Well, we'll be seeing more of Aiden. Let's hope more 1.0 Aiden and not 2.0. But
I'm telling you, they brought him back, fuck him up to prove to us that we're wrong.
It makes me so angry.
Strap in. It's what's happening. You can't stop it. Michael Patrick King hates all of us.
He really does.
And what? Because we just told him that he shouldn't have a job like 15 to 18 times? Fine. Who holds grudges?
When you're that rich, like you have to be, it's like at that point, accept the criticism. Just stop trying to make everyone angry. It's like it's giving the same energy that like Fox News hosts come in with, where they just say things to outrage people. And I think that's all Michael Patrick King is really up to at this point, is like he's getting off on outrage plot subplot lines.
Totally.
Well, we'll of course be back in a few weeks with another recap of the latest episodes of And Just Like That. If you love what you're hearing and you want more old millennials this summer and beyond, we have a Patreon. So you can come check us out, patreon.com/oldmillennialspod, where $4 a month gets you a bonus piece of content. This month, we covered the Barbie movie, which we both loved and saw twice and had a lot of fun with. So you should definitely check out our review there and check out all the other bonus content we have there. And you can always find us on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook. We're at the Old Millennials Pod. And then who knows? I'm not even going to advertise Elon Musk's website, formerly known as Twitter anymore. But, you know, we're still there for the time being. But until next time, we say bye-bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.